Today is Thursday, and that's when we read from your letters.
But first, a correction. In our report on West Nile virus last night, we misidentified Robert Goldstein as a medical student. He's actually a physician and has been one for several years.
There was strong reaction, pro and con, to my interview yesterday with Christina Borgeson, the editor of the book Into the Buzzsaw, Leading Journalists Expose the Myth of a Free Press. Steve Setlick sent us this email. If exposing the realities of journalism and possible failings in its systems is regarded by ATC producers as newsworthy, it struck me as odd that this book would be chosen to be highlighted, as opposed to Bernard Goldberg's best-selling Bias or other books which also criticize the media. Books criticizing the media for being left-biased have been selling in huge numbers, far more than Buzzsaw. Even if one decides that these attacks are without merit, the fact that so many people are buying these books, I believe, is a news story in itself.
But Noah Anderson of Seattle liked what he heard in the interview. He called it the most refreshing piece of journalism I've heard in years. And Mr. Anderson went on to say it raised the question, does the public receive objective journalism in our day and age, when the airing of investigative reports may indeed present a conflict of interest for media conglomerates? I believe raising this question on a broad scale is vital to the health of our democracy. For do we truly have a democracy if we, the public, are under or misinformed?
Cindy Dashnaw of Indianapolis, Indiana, sends praise for Deborah George's report about the open-air courts or gachachas in Rwanda. She writes, where other news outlets would report only the atrocities, NPR went deeper to report about people who are taking brave steps to improve the quality of life in their country. They deserve our admiration. Thank you for sharing their story.
On the other hand, many people responded negatively to our story on Pedro Rivera, an entrepreneur profiled as part of our series on California demographics. Dale Richard of Little Falls, New York, had one of the milder reactions. He writes, I was absolutely appalled at your glorification of an illegal immigrant who worked his way to success by selling pirated music tapes. My grandparents were legal immigrants who were honest and hardworking, but poor. Their two sons grew up to become ethical, successful businessmen who owned their own companies. Surely the Hispanic community must have similar role models to glorify. Let's tell their stories rather than those of criminals.
Dave Schwartz, a systems engineer from Spokane, Washington, heard our piece on the new BMW 745i. It's sort of a car of the future that has replaced a lot of dashboard controls with a computer that displays menus on a screen and responds to voice commands. It's no surprise, he writes, that drivers find the new BMW single control system frustrating. BMW has made a classic engineering problem analysis error, confusing the symptom with the cause. While customers might comment on the overwhelming array of buttons and knobs in a modern car, the number of controls isn't the real problem. It's the number of things that need to be controlled. BMW's single control system not only failed to address this root cause, it actually made things worse for the driver, as he now has to not only learn about all those things that need to be controlled, he also has to figure out how they are accessed through this complex menu system.
And finally, this brief note from Wade Reynolds of Valencia, California. Other than ruefully shaking my head about your story of the doctor running to the bank with a patient still on the operating table, I have just two words. Direct deposit.
However many words you have for us, we'd like to read them. Our email address is atc@npr.org. When you write, please remember to tell us where you're from and how to pronounce your name.